You're listening to the Get Out and Drive podcast with John Custom Car Nerd Meyer and Jason Old Car Guy Carr. We'll be bringing you gearheads everything you never wanted to know about cars and why they should be on the road and not in your garage. Are you ready to get out and drive?
Welcome back to another fun-filled episode of the Get Out and Drive podcast. I am John Custom Car Nerd Meyer.
And I'm Jason, Old Car Guy Carr.
Well, Jason, I think I know a little bit for Canada, but I think here in Missouri in the Midwest, starting to get a little bit cooler, and we're not having 100-degree days anymore. And I wouldn't say summer's officially over, but we've been having fun and doing some things, run around in summer, and a lot of things have happened. I've been hanging out with the guys at AMD. I've been hanging out at Blood Drag. Doing a ton of stuff. What have you been doing?
You know, I've been relaxing, actually, since we come back from C10s in the city in Atlanta back in June. Mm-hmm. Been busy at work. We took a couple weeks vacation at the end of August. And ever since I came back to work, the shop has been extremely busy. We are currently booking about a week and a half to 2 weeks out. So somebody calls me for an oil change today, I'm sorry, but you're going to wait. We've been fairly busy. It is the end of summer. As of the recording of this episode, we are the 18th of September, and we're coming up pretty quick on National Get Out Drive Day. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that in this episode. We're also going to be recapping some of the great things that's happened over the summer between John and I, and you guys already know that we actually got together in Atlanta, and kind of breaking down some of the great things and some of the things to expect here on the Get Out and Drive podcast.
Cool. Stay tuned for the madness. You know, Jason, we sure get to talk a lot.
Yes, and some of us more than others.
Who, me?
I'm not pointing any fingers.
Yes, you are. But we want to hear from our listeners. Just go to our website, getoutanddrive.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, and click the listener hotline button. We want to hear from you. Cool stories, breakdown stories,
questions, comments,
hate mail,
even hate mail.
You got a car show in your area? Let us know.
Tell us an interesting story.
Let us know what you like to get out and drive. The Get Out and Drive podcast has partnered with RacingJunk.com to offer a pro club membership exclusively for our listeners for just $25 a year.
Just a few perks of the pro club membership include up to 50 free photos per ad, a dashboard to keep track of your listed items, and search alerts so you don't miss out on that must-have part.
Don't forget about the Racing Junk store discount, free video uploads for your ads, $65 in ad upgrade credits, and an official club member banner on your ads.
Just use promo code POD23 when you sign up on racingjunk.com.
Well, Jason, I think probably one of the oldest things that I've done, we've done so many things. I guess the biggest thing is hanging out with the guys at AMD, going down to, that was the very, very first OBS, I want to call the OBS Nationals, but it's got an odd name. It's OBS Summit. And that was held at the headquarters of AMD in Georgia. And that was fun. For a first year show, I think they had a bunch of people there and a bunch of killer trucks, big turnout, a bunch of vendors that were there. I got to ride around in a killer OBS. I can't remember what year it was, but it is a lowered OBS dually. That looks like an Indy 500 truck. You know, the black and white ones with all the ribbons all down the side of it. Amazing, amazing truck. Yeah, early 90s.
Because okay. It had the neon in the pinstripe.
Yes.
It was, you know, like the pinks and the blues and the green. Like
yes.
It was
just,
and
oh,
it was
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yes.
And that was, what was his name? Josh McPherson. And yep. I just happened to, coincidentally, you brought that truck up because I saw mm-hmm. on Instagram today that he was on the side of the highway with that truck and something had happened to it. So he was
fuel pump went out on it.
Yeah. So that's too bad. You know, it's, you know, when folks attack these vehicles from the frame up or whatever they're doing, you can touch every nut and bolt on a vehicle. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantees when you're dealing with something that's that old. Many new parts. It's just an unfortunate set of circumstances. He had his family with him, unfortunately. But you know what? That's part of what it is we do. We build these cars, we get out and drive, and we get out and break down sometimes too. So that's just part of the deal, folks. And if you can't handle that, then, you know, sometimes the older vehicles might not be for you. But yeah, that was a great, show. It was a great showing. I think, if you want to follow this, Josh McPherson, Yeah Buddy Garage on YouTube, he shows a lot of what he's doing over there. And, it's great to see all these trucks that John and I grew up with, in our early adult life, starting to come into the collector car, collector truck type scene. And I think it's great to see a lot of these OBSs in different variations. They have Blazers, Suburbans, two-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, long bed, short bed, like just every iteration of these OBSs that you can find. And John, you were there, so you were kind of hands-on. You know, what was the biggest highlight of being able to be at that show?
Well, I know I got to meet a lot of people other than Josh. He had never met me before. Walked up, said, "Hey, man, your truck's badass," and talked to him for a little bit and hung out with him for literally that day, enough that the rest of my people were going back to the hotel because they had had it for the day. And we're like, nope. We hung out and we went through Wheels Through Time Museum. So Josh and I just hung out. And then again, he'd never met me before. Coolest car guy ever. Just invited me to hang out. And we drove around and shoot the bull and get to ride around in OBS Truck of the Year. I mean, that was fantastic. Lots of different styles of trucks that were there. A lot of things that were there were completely stock. Never thought I would be turning around to look at 95 or 97 ZR1 short bed with original paint. I wonder where this truck's sitting. Every one of them that are in the Midwest are completely rusted out. But there were a lot of one owner original trucks that were there, a lot of customized trucks. Saw a lot of stuff from Choo Choo Customs. You remember those from, I think they were in Texas or something, but it was like conversion van company.
Yep.
You know, wood steering wheel and wood center console and all that jazz. But saw a lot of trucks that were very drivable on 18s and 20s. Saw a crew cab dually look like possibly 95 era. Shaved door handles on big wheels sitting on the ground. And just, it ran the gamut from mildly customized to insanely customized. And they just had a ton of people that were there. A lot of interest in that first year show.
Now, I know that I was sworn to not talk about this, but I'm going to mention it anyway. Patina. Was there some OBS patina trucks there?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. You are treading on thin ice, my friend.
So if you guys don't know, let me just hold on for a second. If you guys don't know and haven't heard our episode of the late night after the C10s of the city episode, you got to go back and listen to that. We'll make sure we try to link that down in the comments or the description down below. But we talked about patina a little bit. And I'm just going to say this is that we tried to draw a line somewhere in the sand of where patina is acceptable and where it's not. Is it just a crappy paint job or is it something that actually looks cool, and we felt 30 years was kind of that benchmark. And although OBS trucks are falling into that 30-year category, I just had to throw that out there to ask, because I know that it's a little bit of a bone of contention with all of us who talked about it at the time. So we can leave it there, John, or we can continue talking about it.
Well, to answer your question, we were sitting in the booth that we were sharing with STL Pinstripes, and we were actually pointing out trucks that went by that had original GM applied factory line applied paint that was peeling and moving around that I didn't hate. So kudos to you, jackass, for bringing that up again. And it's fantastic. It will never stop. I constantly hear about it and people talk about it when they listen to the Patina episode. I'm still getting messages and people on both sides of the fence. So,
and that's why we have these conversations, right? Like we talk, sometimes we get on the whole EV thing, just to kind of bolster that conversation back and forth again. But one thing that John, I want to ask too, because I've seen the facility, I've seen multiple videos on United by Trucks. Grant and I actually interviewed Zach, one of the R&D guys over there at AMD, and he kind of gave us a walk through that their facility. Like, talk a little bit about that place. Like, that's a huge building. Like, there's a lot of R&D that goes on in there. They got a small, like a mini junkyard out back of some parts that they're trying to duplicate. Were you able to get through the facility on a little bit of a tour to see what's going on in there?
Oddly, I did not. Not that they didn't invite me, but I was talking with so many people and doing so many things. I almost forgot to go back in the back and talk, because I was talking with Zach. I was talking with Jason Chandler. I was talking with a lot of different people. And I think when we wrapped everything up, I said, oh man, I didn't get to go through this place. But I did see that they had their little junkyard that's in the back. I see they have a lot of parts that they are very proud of. In their display showroom, they had vehicles that had their parts on them, whether it was a 69 Camaro or it was their completely restored, I think they have a Daytona that's there. But it's a winged car. But they have parts hanging on the wall that they show it's an NOS part. Like there was an NOS rocker for, I think, 69, 70 something Dart. And then they have their piece hanging underneath that. They had chrome bumpers that was for 69, 70. I'm sure some Mopar guys are going to beat on me. But they had that era of Dart. They had an NOS rear bumper that was sitting on the wall. And not to knock anybody that wants to use NOS parts, but it looked terrible compared to their bumper that's available. You're going to pay, I don't know, $1,600 for a bag wrapped around an NOS bumper, or you can buy one that's the same quality and just a little more beautiful from AMD.
Just to touch on that a little bit, John, one of the things that we today in 2023 that we've got to take into consideration is that the technology to perfect a part, whether it be a duplicate or something that's made simply from scratch, mm-hmm. is that the technology is there to make it perfect. And there's people out there who choose to want the imperfections of the NOS part that was made on a 1967. You know, yes, okay, the chrome bumper waved back at you as you drove by it. But that was the process. That's what they did. That's what they had. They weren't perfect out of the factory. And they're not perfect when they're rebuilt 50, 60 years later using new old stock. For those guys that want that perfect build, that showroom build, the Dave Kendig, the Chip Foose, those type of guys out there who are going for these Riddler awards that want that perfect piece of metal, don't look at an aftermarket or a repo as bad, because they're going to just cut it up and shorten it and tuck it and do all the stuff with it anyways, but it's going to be a great product to begin with. And you also brought up the fact that they're doing Mopar stuff. They're doing Ford Galaxy, Fairlane stuff. They're not just into square body Chevys. That's not what AMD is solely. They're into a lot more than that. If you've got any type of a collectible car, make sure you check out AMD online, because they just may have that part that you need for your project that, you know, isn't a square body Chevy or a C10. F100s, they're doing Broncos. They're doing all this stuff that's out there, and they're expanding their inventory every day.
Yep. I talked with Zach for quite a long time about his involvement with AMD, and he's been there. Zach, don't quote me if you're listening, but I think he said 13 to 15 years. He's been in and out once. I know that. And he's very knowledgeable about what fits, what don't fit, and what fits from their parts and what don't fit from other companies' parts. And that's very important, because when a customer calls and says that their part, an AMD part, doesn't fit, Zach is the one you're going to talk to back in the AMD's R&D department, because he used to be part of customer service, and he has since graduated back to his R&D position there. But he's very, very animate about making things accurate, the way the gap that GM put things together, the gap that Mopar put together, things like that. We had a long conversation about what fits and don't fit, and why. And I see them taking NOS parts and cutting them up, or taking NOS parts or very low mileage cars and drilling off a quarter panel. I saw very low mileage cars that were behind their office there, and they had taken the quarter panel off of it. I mean, it's, you know, something has to die to make hundreds of thousands of more things.
And just to put you guys into perspective of the quality of product that they build, you all know Brian Harrison, Harrison Rod and Custom. He built the NSRA giveaway truck using AMD parts. It was a square body truck, and a lot of those panels came directly from AMD. They stepped up to the plate. They got this truck built. So if those parts are good enough to use on a project of that caliber, they're going to be good enough for you guys as well. So just, you know, again, we don't want to make this a big advertisement for AMD, although I hope if they hear us, maybe they might want to help us out there too. But nevertheless, we want to make sure that you guys are able to go see what they have to offer, because they put on this show not to highlight themselves. That's not necessarily the reason why they did this show. They did this show for a charity. And it's benefiting the Eddie Bear Foundation, where they collect stuffed animals to give to kids that are battling illness in hospitals. So if you guys want to check them out, make sure you check out eddie-bear.com. Or if you want to follow them on social media, it's at the.eddie.bear. And make sure to show them some support. And if you've got some things that you want to help them out with that foundation, you can do it right there.
We made sure that Get Out and Drive dropped off a big box of teddy bears for the Eddie Bear Foundation. Spoke with Eddie Cabreco at length about this, not only at the OBS Summit, but also the very next day we went to Blood Drag. And that was a come-all show. There was everything from restored muscle car 70 Nova to mini trucks. It was absolutely amazing, the wide variety of things that was there. I got to see a 1931, a vehicle that Ford never made. Let's say that. 1931 Ford five-window coupe pickup. Yeah, you heard me right.
What?
I'll say it again. There was a 31 Ford five-window coupe, four-wheel drive pickup. It was a build that everyone walked by. You got to take your glasses off to hear me better.
I turned that up, man. I mean, my goodness.
Amazing. Started out with a 31 Model A coupe, obviously, has the rear bustle, that could be a trunk or a rumble seat. They whacked the back of it, kind of built some pieces with a sedan, put a pickup bed on the back of it. Four-wheel drive, beautiful wheels on it. It was black, straight. People kept walking past it, and I'm standing there with my jaw on the floor, because as a body man, structure guy, I can see everything that's different and not wrong, but different and changed about it. I stood there for a long time before the owner came up and said, can I answer any questions? And I said, I guess. But that was one of my favorite trucks of the show. Mini trucks that were there, with all sorts of, Cal Custom type graphics. There was even I think it was a Tacoma. It was a Tacoma or a Ranger that fooled me. It had Cal Concepts style, Dagger graphics and everything on it. It was a decal. I couldn't even believe it. One whole side of the truck was like teal blue, and the other side had Cal Concepts slash Dagger Graphics all over the left side and the roof and the hood. And as a painter, I stood there for a few minutes and I said, I wonder why that detail is the same as the detail on the hood. Somebody did a great job. And then I realized it was a vinyl wrap, a created decal of vinyl wrap. And I'm usually not one for a vinyl wrap, but this was beautiful. It was absolutely incredible. Saw a lot of trucks with the old style stereo wall inside of it. Saw trucks with a scissors lift spinning bed. That show had it all. Absolutely incredible. A wide variety of things that were there. We again shared a booth with STL Pinstripes. He was able to show people all of his pinstripe work, which he was on one of our previous episodes. So if you haven't listened to that, go back and look for STL Pinstripes. Tons of stuff. AMD just brought it again. They had a huge stage. They had giveaways. They were doing things for the kids, throwing out T-shirts. We had them send out T-shirts for Racing Junk. Just tons of things. A lot of people interested in National Get Out and Drive Day. It was absolutely phenomenal. Met a lot of people. I know I'm talking a lot, but it's because I met so many people and it was just a great show.
Well, I think that was a great segue into National Get Out and Drive Day because, you know, it's coming up in just a couple of weeks. We're hoping that this episode hits before National Get Out and Drive Day, which is happening on October 1st this year. And all we want you to do is get out and drive. You don't have to have a hot rod. You don't have to have a street rod. You don't have to have a muscle car, anything like that. If it's your family minivan, but you're getting together as a family, we want you to get out and drive. Take that drive. Go sightseeing. If you don't have a vehicle and you just want to do something car related, catch a car movie. You know, there's lots of old car movies out there. Gone in 60 Seconds, the original. Don't watch the one from 2000 or whenever it was. Go out and watch Tulane Blacktop, American Graffiti. All those videos are out there. Sit and do it as a family. If you don't want to rent a movie or pay money to do anything, grab a board game and simply get together with your family and celebrate it as a family event. That's all we're asking you to do. And the other thing that we would like to see is we'd like to see people head on over to the RPM Foundation and show some support over there to them, because that is why we do National Get Out and Drive Day. We want to highlight some support to the next generation of automotive builders, whether it be mechanics, whether it be body men or women. We want to see them get out there. We want to see that trade grow. We want to see those trades grow with the future generation of people, because they're dying. You know, more and more people are choosing to go to university and college and do all these things. Well, guess what? The trades are being kind of left in the dust. We want to see that happen. And the RPM Foundation is the key to getting those kids and those students who are graduating high school the concepts of bodywork, mechanical work, and get into the industry of keeping these cars alive, whether they're old, new, no matter what it is. And National Get Out and Drive Day is kind of our token to kind of get people working away in that direction. John, if there's anything I've left out, feel free to jump in and fill in there.
Well, Jason, I don't think you left out anything at all. I know as much as we push National to Get Out and Drive Day all throughout the year, you folks out there are going to be just inundated in the next month with what to do for National Get Out and Drive Day. Because I know at any time there's Hot Wheels at arm's length in my house, no matter where you are. You're going to knock over a Hot Wheel. And I'm sure it's that way with everybody out there that's listening. Male, female, doesn't matter. If it's raining on National Get Out and Drive Day, pick up a coloring book that has cars in it, pick up a Hot Wheel, goof around, teach your kid how to draw. And it's amazing. We want to make sure we share our information with the next generation. And that's what it's all about. Smiles on people's faces, smiles on kids' faces. I can't believe, oh, the other day I saw a video, I think it was David Newburn's kid, that was wrenching on a car that was in his garage, And I'm pretty sure that's who it was. We can certainly rip that out of there if it's not the right person. But handing a kid wrenches and things when you're working on the car, it's amazing. I still remember when I was younger, I used to, a lot younger, I worked at a Craftsman hardware store in the middle of Sears. And I thought it was amazing. A little kid came running up. He was a toddler, you know, barely enough to talk. And he kept running up. He'd hand his dad a wrench. Hey, dad, 5/16, dad. And he'd run off. And he'd come running up with another wrench. Dad, 3/4, dad, run off. You don't see that as much these days. And I think that's something that's important to share with the next generation.
Yeah, and I would be remiss if I did not bring up the mantra that we use here all the time, and that is what drives youth. And that's kind of what we're trying to do, is we're trying to make sure that the audience that we're talking to right now, you guys and gals who are listening to us, we know that you're likely closer to our age than being a youth. And we want to make sure that if you have kids that are showing interest in wrenching and getting their hands greasy, that this is what you do. You know, bring them along. Teach them how to hold that flashlight straight, damn it. but at the end of the day, we want to make sure that our kids have every opportunity to see what is out there, what makes these wheels turn, what makes these engines roar, and what makes these things look so good at these car shows, and what makes, you know, what it takes to get them there. So our focus here at the Get Out and Drive podcast is what drives youth. We want to see youth. We want to see that next generation get into the same passion that John and I have, and the same passion that you guys have who choose to listen to the ramblings that we have to say here. So we do also want to mention, I'm not going to mention a whole bunch of names of partners, because I'm going to forget some of them, I know, but just off the top of my head, we've got Mike Narks and Eric White over at Drag and Drive. Those guys are huge supporters of the Get Out and Drive podcast, as well as National Get Out and Drive Day. Chris Fox over at Fox Can Fix It on YouTube, as well as Ryan Hayward, Everything is Broken Garage. There's a few more out there. Those folks help support and distribute our Drive Day stickers so that people at car shows can understand what it is that we do, and they can take part in National Get Out and Drive Day. And that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to spread that word to make sure that we give you an excuse to get in your car, whether it be a hot rod or not, and take that drive and have some fun with your family.
I know we keep rambling on about what happened this summer. Tons of things have happened. But one of the great things that happened, I met Scott Smaltz. Great guy. He and his family were driving across the country in his Mercury. I'm sure people have seen it on our postings, black Mercury with yellow flames on it. And that car was built in 1980.
Old school flames,
old school built car, absolutely incredible car. And he didn't have the thing finished or running. He drove it around the block like the day before he left, like an idiot. And his family jumped in with him, no support vehicle, and took off across the country. And where did he stop? He stopped at our offices, and he hung out for a little bit and got to get some refreshments. And I got to meet his family. Great folks. He has come on board with one of our partners, and he's going to be doing some reporting for us and covering some events that we're not able to get to. Scott will be covering the Newport Antique Auto Hill Climb, and I don't have it memorized, so I'm going to look here on my phone. It is September 29th through October 1st in Newport, Indiana, and that is the same weekend as National Get Out and Drive Day, so you'll definitely see a bunch of cars and vehicles that are there sporting the 2023 National Get Out and Drive Day decals, because Scott will certainly be there representing us. He was great. I got to see him again, and I don't know why certain people just pop up in your life, and then I see him here, see him there, and see him on social media. He has been, oddly, a big part of this summer for me. He was a DJ at Custom Car Revival in Indianapolis, which is, if you haven't been to that show, that's an incredible show. You know, a 40s, 50s, 60s, early 60s era custom show. And I just happened to see him a couple weeks earlier, and then here he is spinning records at Custom Car Revival. So Scott, when you're listening to this, I can tell you, buddy, you are all over the joint and you're doing a fantabulous job. So,
and don't forget that Cruising the Coast is happening that weekend as well. It's starting on October the 1st to the 8th. And the entire 90-mile Mississippi Gulf Coast is what they'll be cruising. And if you guys are interested in taking a look at that, unfortunately, we don't have anybody covering that. So if you were heading that way and you'd like to be a part of National Get Out and Drive Day and support what it is that we do and hand out some stickers, make sure you head on over to getoutanddrive.com. That's get out the letter N, drive.com. And you can reach out to us there. And we'll make you an honorary ambassador to National Get Out and Drive Day. Don't forget, guys, if you are taking part in National Get Out and Drive Day, make sure that you're taking some pictures. Get someone to take some pictures of you and your ride while you're out there on the road. Make sure you tag at Get Out and Drive on Instagram, and we can follow you along. We can share your story and make sure that everybody sees what it is that you're driving on National Get Out and Drive Day.
I know we keep reiterating this a bunch, but man, we just love seeing the younger guys get together and just do big things for the automotive industry. I saw recently over at what I would always consider Gateway International Raceway in Madison, Illinois. It's forever going to be that. But it is currently Worldwide Technologies Raceway. And over this past weekend, Donnie Hagar, he scraped together enough money for the entry fee. For one race, he towed his car from Michigan on an open trailer, slept in a tent, and he ran this $1 million race. He won $200,000 with his vehicle. He got there by himself, open trailer, a tent, a generator, an electric generator. It's absolutely amazing to see his beautiful green Vega. He ran that. And I think what I read is his final race, he won by 0.001. That was his light. So that's as dead on the money as you can get, especially without running a box. Being able to do that with his car, he knows his car, and he's obviously been involved in the sport for a while. Congratulations to him. Congratulations on his ability to win and his drive and stamina to make all that happen this past weekend.
Yeah, congratulations, Donnie. I mean, it's good to hear these stories of young fellows getting out there and pouring their heart and soul into a project just to have the opportunity to race with these guys. And I can guarantee you, if that kid had walked in there or drove in there, and got a chance to race and even lost, I bet you his weekend still would have been made. And here he comes out with money in his pocket. And I bet you he's just banking on the next one. You know, it's just something that drives you, to do better, to improve is a win like that, man. He must be flying on some kind of high.
What we get to do, Jason, with going to SEMA and going to PRI and all the shows we go to, we get to talk to so many people. I have a list of so many people I want to talk to, but sadly, as time marches on, some of them very important people that have made incredible roads in our industry, they are sadly, they're passing. Recently, famous for the Hemi Under Glass was Bob Riggle. He died very recently. And like I said, very famous for piloting the Hemi Under Glass Barracuda and for crashing the thing with you. Now I see you laughing already. Crashing the thing with Jay Leno in the passenger seat.
I shouldn't even be laughing. When you sent me a picture of Hemi Under Glass not that long ago. And yes. My comeback to that was something along the lines of, a Jay Leno punchline.
Right.
And we both got a little bit of a laugh out of that because, of all the times that Bob Riggle had piloted this car, the one time he gets somebody a caliber of automotive the automotive industry, the collector, the celebrity, the celebrity status of Jay Leno. And what does he do? He rolls it.
Yeah, he crashed it. I think that's doing a wheelie a little bit too far inside of a raceway with a banked curve. I think that had a little to do with it. A
little bit to do with it. Not enough space. But nevertheless, you know, we want to pay a little bit of a tribute to Bob Riggle, you know, for bringing that car to the stage and entertaining thousands and thousands of people over the years with that particular car.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I have, of all the cars and things that I've seen around that were wheel standard cars, backup pickup, you know.
Jet buses.
You know, Bill Golden, everybody driving all sorts of crazy cars in the 60s. He was right in there, and he was a big deal when it comes to talking about the wild drag racing crowd drawing fun. That was a mid-60s drag racing. You know, he's a huge part of our industry, and he will sadly be missed. Moving along to another big loss is Joe Lunardi. And you talk about people that were the building blocks for our industry. He is one of them. He was somebody who was doing something when you couldn't just dial 1-800 build my car. He was making parts for his car and his friend's car, and learning about racing and learning about how to make internal combustion engine faster for no reason other than the love of it. He was born in 1935. So that kind of tells you when he got into the industry. I shouldn't say get into the industry, helped create the industry. So, as another person, a wealth of information that has history that has passed with that man. So that's a huge loss.
It is, because we look back at, you know, in history, and the names associated with any form of racing, are Edelbrock and Holly and, you know, Lunardi. All these names had started with one person with an idea to improve upon a product. And like you said, making that product for yourself, for your friends, your neighbors, whatever. And then all of a sudden there's a demand for that product that puts you on the map. And, you know, the Lunardi Racing Cams has been around, well, for as long as Joe has been around. That name will live on forever because of what he's done for our industry. And, you know, it's sad to hear that some of these, you know, that these great legends have passed on, but their names hopefully will live on for a long time. And, you know, it's tough to sit here and talk about people who are passing. You know, we don't want to end on that. We want to also make note, a lot of you guys, if you follow me on Instagram, you'll know that I made a video talking about Steve Magnante. A statement came out last week that he's been suffering with an infection that is pretty serious, apparently. And I don't know what the details are wholly, but I do know that he's basically incapacitated for a while. You know, our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. And one of the things that we would like to see happen is his YouTube channel is growing, and that is a source of revenue for him and his family. So if you don't know, or you haven't been there yet, go over to Steve Magnante, and the name spelling, a lot of people can't get it because they don't even know how to say it, is Magnante. And make sure you go over and follow his YouTube channel. Watch a lot of his videos. We talk about a wealth of information. Man, this guy is a encyclopedia for knowledge, especially on Mopars. But if you've ever watched Barrett Jackson Auction, Steve has been there. He's been checking out those VINs. He's been decoding them for you, telling you what makes those particular cars special. And like I said, just a wealth of knowledge. You know, we hope to see Steve back at it very, very soon. And all we're asking you to do is make sure you head over to his YouTube channel and his social medias and follow what's going on over there and stay up to date with what's happening.
Moving on to more fun stuff. I'm sure if you follow our social media presence, you know who Fred Ashmore is. Currently holds the solo record for running the Cannonball Run, even though some people say he did not. But one of our other highlights from the summer has been watching Fred Ashmore and his co-driver, Billy Taff. They currently won the Overlanders TV show that was on the Outdoor Channel. We were watching every week. And if you're not familiar with this, it's kind of like the Great Race, but you drive. So we certainly all know who Fred Ashmore is. He currently holds the world record solo driving across the country for the Cannonball Run, 2555, even though other people say he did not. A little controversial. And that touches on one of our other episodes, but I won't get into it right now. So if you don't know who Fred Ashmore is, go listen to one of our other episodes. You certainly will come out swinging. But he and Billy had won the whole shooting match. And it was against, like, I think five other teams. But two guys in a vehicle that they built just pounding across the country. It was great to watch. It was like Amazing Race. It was ridiculous and fun and everything that we love to see about Get Out and Drive.
And Fred adds a little bit of extra oomph to the show as well because of his personality. He's very determined. He's very well-spoken and outspoken. So sometimes that comes across, but nevertheless, he's, again, a great fellow to watch, him and Billy Taft. It was a great episode, a great series. And if you haven't seen that yet, make sure you head on over to the Outdoor Channel.
It is the Outdoor Channel.
Yep, and check that out because I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed.
Yep.
Guys, thanks for sticking around for this episode of the Get Up and Drive podcast. We're so happy to have you guys be a part of what it is that we do here. We're always excited to talk about some of the things that have happened with Get Out and Drive because our name is getting out there. You guys are promoting us and people actually want to talk to us. Can you imagine that, John? People actually want to talk to you and me.
We ramble so much. No one gets a word in edgewise. And there's we're getting inundated with people from the industry that want to speak with us. So I think that's fantastic.
Yep. So we're also trying to plan an event to PRI this year. So if you guys are going to be there, make sure you hit us up. And if you feel like you have something to add to the Get Up Drive podcast, maybe we can hook up with you and have a little chat. Anyways, it's been a great episode, John. Thanks for having us along. We'll catch you in the next episode.
Cruise on over to our website, getoutanddrive.com, for all the info you never wanted to know about our podcast. Hit us up on our listener hotline, be the first to know what's happening, get industry news, and grab your Get Out and Drive merch. Connect with us on social media. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Follow us on Twitter at Get Out and Drive Pod.
What drives you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like we're heading down the coast and like we're going to get some burgers and fries.